Turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'd like for us to look a little bit at the thought concerning the hearing of the Word of God. But how much effect does it have in our life? People are ready to listen and to hear, but how much are we willing to really take to heart what we read in Scripture as the Lord speaks to us? We're living in a day in which the Word of God is made light of, and as a true child of God, we're very much in the minority, aren't we? And it seems as though the times in which we're living just points forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is very soon at hand. People that are turning away from the truth and turning to fables and the things and the system of this world. I was up at my brother-in-law's funeral. I stayed with my sister and her husband and her family, and they attend a Baptist church up there. But it's part of a conference that is over a number of these churches. Just recently, the pastor that they had resigned and left, and so there was a man from this conference that came, and he would come, the conference would send him, and he would assess their needs at the church, and then he would respond to them as to how their needs are to be met and what type of a man that would fill those needs in that. So when he left and went back, he sent to them this computer disc. And this disc has the answer for your situation there in your church. You take this disc and put it in your computer and send a letter to all the people of the congregation. Those that are involved in the leadership, view this, and this man, this is the man that you need, that is going to help you in your problems and situation and so on. So you see the system in which the world is using is very much infiltrated in the church. The body of Christ, Christendom at large, and is becoming that which dominates. It's not the Lord that's the answer, but it's in what man can provide, and the gift of a man, and so on. Looking to a man rather than to the Lord. The exaltation of man versus the fact that a gathering, we gather unto the Lord. We don't gather as unto a man or anyone of that sort. But we gather as unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we gather unto Him and to Him alone. The exercising of the gifts, I had quite a long conversation with him regarding that, but being into that system of a one-man setup, It's hard to see that the fact that God has given a gift and we're to use it in a local gathering of believers. And I had a good conversation with them regarding that. But you know, it's turning away from the Word of God and turning away from the truth and turning unto other things to find the answer. I was thinking tonight of the, or as I was preparing, throughout the week, but thinking of the fact that we can hear, but how much do we perceive? How much do we really take in? We come to the chapel week after week and we hear the Word of God, real godly messages, Christ-centered, God-honoring, and trusting that the Spirit of God, as He uses His Word to speak to our hearts, that it will challenge us and motivate us to go forth day by day and to look to Him to supply our needs. We all go through struggles and difficulties, the trials of life and so on that come upon us day by day. We're faced with decisions, but we can realize that in the Word of God that we can find strength and find help and find direction. But you know, we can listen, but how much do I really apply? And I ask myself that question, how much do I really take in? Let's read this portion in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews is known, as someone has titled it, as the last call to Israel. And the writer of Hebrews is certainly reflecting upon the past of Israel, their rejection of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, their rejection of the truth of the Word of God, and we see that there's no one else to turn to. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the sins of the whole world, the rejection of His sacrifice by Israel, was the only sacrifice that could bring forgiveness of sin. When they turned from Him and rejected Him, they rejected the only way of salvation. Many of them turned back to Judaism under the law and the Judaistic ways and the traditions of men. They went, when many of them that should have been partaking of the strong meat of the Word were no longer had that desire to know the things of God, the oracles of God, that they went back to the things of Judaism and so on. They came very close, but yet rejected the message. When there were those who believe, and Israel must come to face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah before they can be saved. A Jew can be saved only through faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as a Gentile. But we see there were those that were, they were dull of hearing. And the writer says, I have many things to say, but they're hard to be said because you're dull of hearing. You're faint in your hearing. You're not keen and ready to hear. very faint and very sluggish in your hearing. And you know, we can become very dull in hearing. Sometimes we don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say. And sometimes we don't want to hear the answer that the Word of God has to say regarding an issue or thing. And sometimes we can be very dull in hearing. We don't want to hear the truth of the Word of God. It was characteristic of the Jewish people at that time. They were dull of hearing. One of the parables of the seed, as Matthew writes, concerning Israel, that Isaiah spoke that they would be dull of hearing. One of the characteristics of the people at that time, of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers, they would be dull of hearing. People don't want to hear today, do they? They don't want to hear the truth. They will turn to fables and things that pacify them and things of their own choosing and things that bring satisfaction to them rather than the truth of the Word of God. Characteristic of the day in which we're living. For when at a time we ought to be teachers, we needed to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. When they ought to be teachers of the Word of God and the things of God, they had fallen back where they were no longer partaking of strong meats, but they were taking on the milk of the Word. And everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A good definition of a babe in Christ is found here. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness. When a baby is born, the baby is given milk, isn't a child when it's born. The child can't digest solid foods. The system is not such that could be done. And it's true with the child of God. When we're first saved, we partake of the milk of the Word, that which is easy to digest, and the lighter things, the first principles of the oracles of God, the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is and so on, so taken up with Him. And as we grow in the Lord, and just as a baby grows, gets body develops, digestive system comes to the point where that child can partake of some more solid foods. And as he grows, that child grows and take of the solid foods and digestion and nourishment to the body. So it is with the strong meat of the Word. As we partake of that which is the meat of the Word, that we can take it within ourselves, and we can digest it, and we can grow thereby. It's a great illustration, a great example of the Word of God. And as a babe in Christ that first comes to know Christ as their Savior, and to see the excitement and the zeal and wants to learn more and that. And then as they grow in the Lord and to see them develop and to learn more and eager to learn more of the things of God. But you know, it's possible that we can lose that desire to learn, to be taken up with the Word of God and to really desire to get into the Word, to spend time in it, and to see what God has to say in His Word and apply it to our life. It's possible to lose that desire. It's possible to not spend time throughout the week in the Word of God as we are. You know, If we lose that desire, we go on, we can fall back and fall away from the meat of the Word. Unfortunately, that can happen. We need to stick to the Word of God and day by day to spend time in His Word and to grow in the things of the Lord. I want to suggest something tonight I'd like to look at. One of the greatest things that will cause us to lose the desire is the deceitfulness of ourselves. Deceitfulness of man will cause one to lose the desire to get into the Word of God and to partake of the meat of the Word and to grow in Him. One of the dangers, one of the drawbacks that could come about is the deceitfulness of ourselves. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 22 through verse 26. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if ye be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now I looked up the word deceit, or to deceive, in Vine's Dictionary of Words. And it has this thought: deceit, a false impression, could be by appearance, could be by statement, it could be by influence. Subtlety, something very subtle. It's a false impression. James says that we can deceive our own selves. It's possible that we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we are someone whom and we are not. A false impression. But notice that he uses the example here. And he says, if anyone is just a hearer of the word, and he's not a doer, he says, a man beholding himself in a natural glass. He looks at himself, and he beholds himself, and he goeth his way. But he forgetteth what manner of man he was. There's two key words in these verses. He forgets, and then we're going to see the one who doesn't forget. But this man looks into a glass, a mirror, and he takes a look at himself. But he turns around and he goes the other way. And he forgets what manner of man that he was. This is a picture of one who just simply hears the word of God. He's not a doer, but he just hears it. His natural face he sees in the mirror. And speaking of him looking at himself, he beholds himself, his natural state, but he forgets what God wants him to be spiritually. He walks the way, he turns and he goes the other way. Now notice that he says he forgets what manner of man that he was. He forgets what kind of a man he was. He forgets what he has been saved from. He forgets what kind of a man he was before coming into the truth of the liberty of the Word of God. He forgets. He's deceiving himself, isn't he? He thinks he's someone that he really is not. He looks at himself, but he fails to see the truth. And he gives a false impression to himself as someone whom he is not. Now notice in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds. Here's a man that he looks into the perfect law of liberty, which of course is the Word of God. It's the only perfect law of liberty. He looks in the Word of God and he continues in it. He doesn't turn away. He continues. He continues in the Word of God. He takes a look at himself through the Word of God. He's not looking at his own countenance, but he's looking at it a different angle. One who not only hears, but one who does something about what he hears in his life. So he's looking at it from a different angle. And he's not a forgetful hearer. He doesn't forget what he hears. And you know, a lot of times messages are spoken here from the platform and you go out and say, boy, that was a great word, you know, it was real meat of the word and something that you can take home and think about in that. You know, I wonder how much we do of that, though. I find myself sometimes just going home and carrying on the duties of the day or the night or whatever, and but how much do we not forget what we've heard? How much do we continue to ponder over and to mold over and chew over some of the things that we've heard and say, Lord, this is so true in which we've seen in Scripture, and it's not a part of my life as it ought to be. And what do we really do about it? This man is not only a hearer, but he does something about what he hears. It has an effect on his life. This man is blessed in his deed. He's a blessed man. There's real fruit that is born because he does something. It has an effect in his life. It's not a false impression. It's not a deceitfulness, but it's reality, and it has an effect in his life. You see, it's possible that we can be deceived in thinking that we're okay. We can look into the mirror and look at ourselves. I'm okay. I compare myself to someone else. I think I'm pretty good. I don't do this. I don't do that. I think I'm pretty good. We can deceive ourselves fail to see that what we hear in the Word of God is what we need to do something about. We're to be doers of the Word of God. Revelation tells us that concerning Satan, that war in heaven, and Michael and his archangels will be thrown out of heaven. And John writes that he's deceived the whole world. Imagine that. Satan, the highest angel at one time in the presence of God, cast down to the lowest of this earth. The deceitfulness of Satan in the world today, he deceives the whole world. He's a great deceiver. Unfortunately, many believers today are deceiving their own selves and following after a false impression, giving out a false impression, a reflection that is not really true of a believer who not only hears but does. We see in verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious or outwardly religious, bridles not his tongue, deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Not only what he hears and does, but what he says. What we say comes from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But if we bridle not our tongue, if we're not careful what we say, we're only deceiving our own heart. There are those that are just want to do an outward show, an outward religious show. But just as that man who just wants to hear, he doesn't want to do. As he reflects himself in the mirror, he sees one whose heart is deceived before God. What a sad situation it is. This man's religion is empty. There's nothing there. It's vain. There's nothing. How sad it is. The deception of Satan today is presenting something that is real, but yet is not, is far from the reality. Satan has many hearers. He has no doers of the Word of God. Satan wants to destroy the testimony of a believer, cause him to fall away, cause him to be deceived by his own self. That's the desire that Satan would have. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. In this portion, Paul is writing concerning one, a believer who has fallen away, and one who is spiritual, one who has grown in the meat of the Word, to go to that one, to with the desire to restore that one back to the Lord, back to fellowship again in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also should be tempted. Not considering himself higher than that one, but to consider the fact that it could be I, it could be you, that could fall in the same temptation, but by the grace of God. And the spirit of meekness, and to go and to restore that one. For to bear that one another's burden, to bear the burden of that one, and seek to restore them in meekness back to fellowship. But there's the other side of it. If a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he simply deceives himself. Man thinks that he's something, and before God he's nothing. He only deceives himself. And sometimes we think, you know, things couldn't go along without me. And sometimes we think higher of ourselves than we ought to. But you know, we are nothing. But by the grace of God, it's all His work. It's not our work. And with restoring another believer, it's not of ourselves. It has to be of the Lord. As this one brother would go and bear another brother's burdens and so empathize with that one and the desire to restore that one. He has nothing to offer within himself. He is nothing. It's all of God. It's all of the Lord to restore this one brother. Nothing of himself. And if he thinks that he is something when he is nothing, he's only deceiving his own heart. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that we're to humble ourselves, aren't we? We're to have the spirit of meekness. We're to have the spirit of humility. If we exalt ourselves, the Lord is going to abase us. If we think that we are something, then we're failing to see that Christ is everything, aren't we? We're nothing within ourselves. There's nothing that we can do within ourselves. The Lord said concerning the vine, except the branch abides in the vine, gets its nourishment from the vine, it can produce nothing. It can't do anything. A branch can do nothing on its own, except it abide in the vine. Can do nothing. Can't produce any fruit. It's all of Him, isn't it? And when we hear the Word of God, the only way we can do what the Word of God says is through Him, through the Lord. It's when we see in the Word of God that it's only Him that can do anything in our life. It's not of ourselves. We need to have the desire. He gives that desire. We need to be motivated. He'll help us to be motivated to get into His Word. But it's all of Him, isn't it? It's nothing of ourselves. It's all of Him. In verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow seeds of corn, you're going to produce corn. Whatever is sown will produce of its own. The evidence of the seed will be seen in the fruit. Be not deceived. You can't mock God. I can't mock God. Don't mock him. Make light of him. Because whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. Don't be deceived. Don't give a false impression. Don't allow Satan to deceive you. Because whatever is sown is going to yield in the fruit. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity, aren't we? We have a nature that only wants to hear, but doesn't want to do, the flesh. Flesh profiteth nothing. The satisfying of the flesh comes from the world and the fleshly things about us. There is no good in the flesh, Paul says. Nonetheless, there is a war that is going on, the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And as long as we're in this body, in this tabernacle, in this dwelling place, the flesh will be part of us. And if we try to deceive in saying that there is no sin, if we say that we have no sin, we're only deceiving ourselves. We're not giving us ourselves a true picture, and the truth is not in us. We not only need to hear, but we need to do. And John writes that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Don't be deceived by thinking that we're that we cannot sin. We have a nature that does sin. But we can be thankful that we can confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That we can do something about it. So we can have forgiveness and know that we're forgiven. Not to be deceived in ourselves. But we can be honest and open before God that he forgives us of all of our sin. We have the nature that is born of the Spirit. And that's the nature that we need to dwell upon and to think upon. And the Word of God has an effect upon that nature that is totally committed to God and that is from Him. We're born by the Spirit and we have a new nature, a new life, and so much more that we've gained by knowing Christ as our Savior. And that's the nature we need to dwell upon. And the problems that come in our life and the problems in the world today that we see is an evidence of the fact that man, by the deceitfulness of themselves, and by just simply hearing and not doing, is creating within themselves the fact that when they come face the trials and troubles of the day, they fail to see that there's one who is ready to help and who has the answer in the day in which we're living. It's by the Spirit of God. If we dwell upon the Spirit and the Word of God, we'll not be deceived in our hearts. We'll have the truth. We'll have the true reflection of what God wants to do in our life. So many false images are in the world today. People that are not real. There's no reality. It just simply hears. They know nothing of doing. And looking at themselves through the Word of God and seeing what God wants us to be and seeing the truth of His Word and realizing that He's the one that will bear fruit in our life. To be able to discern from good and evil can only be done through the Word of God. Let's just close in prayer.